but who can say that it was not interesting? Also, it misses the point of this sort of question to speak of explaining the whole in terms of the parts. The study of quarks and electrons is fundamental, not because all ordinary matter is composed of quarks and electrons, but because we think that by studying quarks and electrons, we will learn something about the principles that govern everything. It was an experiment using electrons fired at the quarks inside atomic nuclei that clinched the case for the modern, unified theory of two of the four fundamental forces of nature, the weak and the electromagnetic forces. In fact, the elementary particle physicist today gives more attention to exotic particles that are not present in ordinary matter than to the quarks and electrons that are, because we think that right now the questions that need to be answered will be better illuminated by studying these exotic particles. When Einstein explained the nature of gravitation in his general theory of relativity, it was not in terms of the parts, but in terms of the geometry of space and time. It may be that physicists in the 21st century will find that the study of black holes or gravitational radiation reveals more about the laws of nature than elementary particle physics does. Our present concentration on elementary particles is based on a tactical judgment, that at this moment in the history of science, this is the way to make progress toward the final theory. Finally, there is the question of emergence. Is it really true that there are new kinds of laws that govern complex systems? Yes, of course, in the sense that different levels of experience call for description and analysis in different terms. The same is just as true for chemistry as for chaos. But fundamental, new kinds of laws? Gleick's lynch mob provides a counterexample. We may formulate what we learn about mobs in the form of laws, such as the old saw that revolutions always eat their children. But if we ask for an explanation of why such laws hold, we would not be very happy to be told that the laws are fundamental, without explanation in terms of anything else. Rather, we would seek a reductionist explanation precisely in terms of the psychology of individual humans. The same is true for the emergence of chaos. The exciting progress that has been made in this area in recent years has not taken the form solely of the observation of chaotic systems and the formulation of empirical laws that describe them. Even more important has been the mathematical deduction of the laws governing chaos from the microscopic physical laws governing the systems that became chaotic. I suspect that all working scientists, and perhaps most people in general, are in practice just as reductionist as I am, although some, like Ernst Mayr and Philip Anderson, do not like to express themselves in these terms.